Welcome to Perfect Storm. It is wonderful to have you back with us again.
You jumped a bit early there, I think. Phil would have left it a few more seconds.
I can't hear myself in this mic. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay.
Just your glitchy headphones.
Glitchy headphones. Good to have you back, everyone, today. Our mate, Phil, he's been replaced again.
Yes, upgraded.
Upgraded to Kelly.
Downgraded, depends Kelly. On the way you look at it.
Welcome, Kelly.
Kelly's got her intelligent glasses on today, so she's going to have some amazing comments.
False advertising.
And Kyle. Yep. Kyle, good to have you here, mate. Bit going on in the world.
As always.
But super hot at the moment, just today. But we want to first talk about some comments from last week because we've had some requests, haven't we?
Look, we'll get this one out of the way first so that when people replay this show, they can get straight to it. It's the caramel custard recipe is on high demand.
It is.
Somebody here is actually our friend Cassandra would like to know if it's dairy and gluten-free.
It's not.
No, it's my mum.
Sorry, Cassandra, this is a warm
and this has got nothing to do with being healthy. I just want to add.
Having said that, you could probably substitute ingredients.
Yeah, it's just not right, but Kelly.
Yeah. And then you make it taste worse.
So what we've done, Kyle, Kelly was frantically typing as mum told us, but we just decided to record the phone call.
Yeah.
So I'm going to play the phone call for the listeners. Okay, you ready?
Yeah.
So if you want the recipe, here it is. All right.
Okay, start again.
2 tablespoons of butter and 1 cup of brown sugar.
That's a healthy start.
Cream that together. Then add 2 egg yolks. 60 grams of plain flour. Just mix it all together.
Yep.
You could do
then
this.
Then on the stove, you boil 1.5 cups of milk, or don't boil it, heat.
Heat it.
1.5 cups of milk. When it's almost boiling, you stir it into the mixture. Then you tip it all back into the saucepan and cook it on the stove until it thickens.
Okay.
You could add vanilla if you like vanilla, and that's it.
That's it.
Thanks so much, Mum.
All right, that's the recipe.
Thanks, Mum.
Thanks, Mum, for the
If you want to know that, just replay it again. You listen to it again. If you're listening on the radio and you want that, go to the Faith FM YouTube channel and find the Perfect Storm.
Or the app. You can get the app.
On the app, you can play it as well. Yeah.
Don't get to see our beautiful faces.
It's true.
Or Kelly's. Butterscotch. Somebody wants. You missed that, didn't you? That went over your head.
I didn't react. I just shut up. I sat here.
Butterscotch custard. Our friend, Trumpy one that is related to Triumphs, not Donald Trump.
Oh, yeah, Trumpy one's back. Yeah, how are you, Trumpy one?
He wants a butterscotch custard recipe, please.
Oh, there you go. There it is.
And he says not to tell his wife.
We deny it.
Justin is right when he says that we should be teaching our children how God uses people in uniforms to protect us, our way of life and our religious freedoms. God always has protected the world with brave men and women.
Yep. And that's biblical, by the way. Mm-hmm. It says in Romans chapter 13 that the Roman soldier carries a sword. He acts as God's instrument to keep peace and the world safe. Now, God's not into war. He's opposed to war. He hates killing. But he definitely has law and order and soldiers and all those things in Scripture.
Mm-hmm.
He talks about the armor of God.
Some of the great examples of faith, the centurion. In all Israel, Jesus said, I haven't seen such faith as this centurion. And we have lots of, he's over 100 soldiers. And then you've got Cornelius, the first Gentile convert to Christianity. He's another centurion. Of the Italian regiment, it says so. He's an elite soldier. So a lot of the stuff that would relate to the Ben Roberts thing, that those sort of soldiers existed in different form, but they have existed all through history.
I think Cassandra's making fun of us here. She says so far we've talked about our stomachs and we've coveted Kyle's van. What other commandments are we breaking?
We didn't cover Kyle's van. We gave it back to him, Cassandra, but we did borrow it. And it's a handy thing. If you ever need a good van, just ask about the transporter.
Low hourly rates.
Yeah.
Then she says, Ben Robert Smith is a hero, and I agree, but only God knows what happened. I believe he's being set up.
Well,
do you know anything about this, Justin?
We have been listening to a lot of information, and we shouldn't pass judgment either, other than making an assessment of the info.
Mm.
And I've got to say, I think they should leave the man alone, like I said last week. The more info I've listened to, he's a Victoria Cross winner. Leave the man alone. If you hear what he did and the eyewitnesses, the Taliban themselves said this guy's not human. What he did, he should not have been able to do. Anyway, it's dividing our country. I think Andrew Hastie, the politician, you know Andrew Hastie, Kelly?
Not personally, but heard of him.
I shook his hand. I like the guy. His dad was an Anglican priest. He's grown up a Christian. I might be Presbyterian. I might have got that wrong. But he's grown up in a Christian home. He's served his country faithfully. He's had some mistakes. He's admitted himself when he was doing that. He testified in the defamation case against Ben Roberts. Even though he didn't see anything or anything, he just heard second hand, makes it third hand, he's giving a report.
That surprises me that they can use that as evidence if it's not real.
Well, a criminal trial is different to a defamation trial. And so this, I don't think his evidence could even be used because it's hearsay. It's hearsay.
Because weren't you saying that he heard it from someone who heard it from someone else?
He heard it in a hallway somewhere.
In a hallway, and it's a bit sketchy. I think he's destroyed his political journey now, because if you look online, the guys that would be supporting him, conservative, traditional Australian fellas, have been supporting him. They have turned on him like a pack of dogs, the fact he's testifying against Ben Roberts. So this has become a very divisive issue, Kyle. Very divisive.
Yep. Yeah, there's a lot of people calling him a traitor. And, yeah, he's lost a lot of support.
I'm not sure he can come back from this. That's how big I think it is. Because it's his base that it turned on him.
I feel like when the certain news corporation started pursuing this, and then, you know, the government was trying to clamp down on this, this was quite a different political climate and temperature.
You mean Channel 9?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think they're the genesis of this whole thing.
And they've really started pursuing it quite a while ago when, you know, before some major events in Australia that have shifted the political climate. And so now it's all heating up and ready to blow. I don't think there's an appetite for it anymore.
I don't think they'll ever actually get to court on this. I think they'll drop it because the outrage that will happen if they jail that man, it will be palpable.
Was it? It was Bob Catter, how somebody up north has given him all his medals, said send them back to Canberra, I don't want them.
After the way they're treating their soldiers. And
there's
a lot of really interesting podcasts that have very bad language.
Any suggestions?
I can't remember the name of the one I listened to, but it was by a guy out of Commander 2.
Scott Jones.
His perspective on it is fascinating. Now, there's other perspective, and we've only really heard the anti one. If you go and listen to the other guys, it didn't really get a fair hearing, I don't think, in the last court case. Yeah, this is not a good thing to be getting involved in, I think.
We've just had Anzac Day. Touchy topic for some, but...
let's just calm it down here. Kelly, what do you do in our office?
I work for trust services.
So if anyone's listening to this needs a will, your last will and testament, Kelly's your girl, and she does that free of charge.
I do.
Free of charge. So just call Kyle's mobile number. We'll hand that out now.
Hang on, just let me figure out what that number is. I'll read it out to you. Just pull up Justin's number.
Yeah, don't you dare. Anyway, South New South Wales Conference Office, get in contact with that. And Kelly can do your will.
Every conference has a trust services director.
What is a conference?
Yeah, because there's a lot of people that aren't church people listening to this.
That is true. So I guess our conference is the South New South Wales Conference.
head of a head office, and most head offices,
the regional district offices, yeah,
have a person like Kelly. So anyway, let's go back to Anzac.
Do you want a number for ours for somebody who wants to ask about a will?
Yeah.
It's 02-6249-6822. And if we don't answer, that's because we don't have a receptionist anymore because Kelly's now doing wills. But leave a message and Kelly will call you back.
Yeah, amen.
I was going to talk about Anzac Day.
Yeah, boy.
Happens every year and there's something that's getting fierier and fierier each year when they do a welcome to country. Certain people in the crowd don't like it. And I thought this clip was quite interesting. Can I play a clip?
Go for it.
Let's get some volume here.
Give some context first. Who is this?
So this is the Sky News host talking to the can't remember what his title was. He says it right at the end. Let's start at the end, hey? Get the title.
Justin Jones. Thank you, Vice Admiral.
Vice Admiral Justin Jones of the Australian Defence Force.
He looks like he's got a few shiny things on his coat.
He's got a couple medals. He's been around for a while. So let's hear the interview here.
The acknowledgement of country. That must be disappointing considering the part Indigenous Australians have played in the armed forces.
Well, one of the things that we in the Defence Force are defending, as I've said, is our democracy and freedom of expression. So whilst that might be disappointing, those are exactly the principles that the Australian Defence Force is designed to defend.
Yeah. Well, listen, we really appreciate your time this morning. That's the Chief of Joint Operations Command, Vice Admiral Justin Jones. Thank you.
I feel like that interview was meant to go for longer, and then it didn't.
He was wanting to get him to sort of wail into the issue when he say, "Hey, I love that attitude. Everyone's got a right to protest, and you'll pay the price if you do it wrong." And there was some Kelly. What do you think, Anzac Day and the booing and everything that went on?
I think there's a better. If you have an objection to something like that, there is a better way to do it than to boo, but. Like he was commenting about respect for our Indigenous people, soldiers that have fought in our wars.
Amen.
And respect for them, and they absolutely deserve respect. But I don't know whether...
Wouldn't that happen at the same time as the minute of silence? Like
yeah,
did
that's
for
what I'm
else?
Thinking. I don't know whether that acknowledgement of country has a spot, has a place in Anzac Day. Because, I mean, they're all soldiers.
That sounds controversial to me.
That's a bit radical, Kelly. I wouldn't have said it like that.
We talked about this before. We're stirring Kelly. Kelly is like the nicest person in our office, and we're not.
we're not the nicest person in the office.
So,
No. It's obviously extremely divisive and... I don't know a lot about how this is organized. You're saying the RSL, Return Services League, is actually in charge of organizing?
They're reviewing it now, right. And I'll make a prediction.
Right.
And let me just say what Justin thinks, because Kelly's the nice person.
Yeah.
Anzac Day is sacrosanct. You do not touch Anzac Day in our culture. And I'm talking here as just as an Aussie. I love they sing hymns and they pray because it's about remembering the dead. And not, in a bad way, but just honoring their sacrifice. I think it's extremely Christian. That dude in Sydney that got up and did that, it turns out he's bagging out Charlie Kirk's death and celebrating it. He went for 7 minutes and we do a minute silence for the soldiers. I'm happy for people to have their welcome to country where they want to put it all out, but not on Anzac Day. Not on Anzac Day. I've heard some wonderful welcome to country and I've heard some really ordinary ones. And, it started in 1976 with Ernie Dingo in Perth. The Maoris and Cook Islands come over and they want to, how are we going to work here with you guys? You've got to welcome us. And it started something and I think it can be used in a real positive way for the community.
I think it was last year after Anzac Day, you came to work and you told me how impressed you were with the Welcome to Country out in Ballarat.
It was actually Australia Day.
Australia.
And I went and found the fella. He's a local bloke. I can't remember his name.
We talked about it on the radio.
I've seen him around Batley. He's an Indigenous fella from Batley. He included everyone.
Mm.
That's the point. Mm. And there are guys that get up there with their need to create a victimhood, and there's been a lot of bad stuff. There's a lot of history, but let's move forward together. And I just think, don't go putting any other stuff in Anzac Day. Mm. Leave it alone. Mm. Australia Day, you absolutely have your welcome to country and do all that stuff, but not Anzac Day. That's my opinion.
Right.
Yeah, it's about soldiers. It's about our...
Yeah, Indigenous, Anglos, whatever. Your culture doesn't matter.
Mm.
Your genetics don't matter. It is what you did for your mates and for your country. As you made sacrifice. And it's a beautiful thing that for the influence that prayer and Christianity has on that day,
mm.
and I'm biased towards that because we are a Christian nation and I'm a Christian believer,
mm.
and I think it's a beautiful thing. We don't need to politicize it because, let me tell you, the booing's not going to go away if you perpetuate this. And I hope everyone just takes a breath. Let's go back to and just remember what Anzac Day is about.
Mm. Yep.
Boy.
Well, moving right along then. James Comey has been indicted for threatening the life of the president. A president.
Can I stop? Put a pin in it. Because something happened in the last few days that I think why they've arrested him or indicted him now.
Well, they asked him about that. They asked one of the guys about that. They said, we don't make decisions in a few days like this. These things can take years. And this one has come very quickly. It's taken us a year.
Okay, well, I'll stop then. Keep going.
Yeah. So, bye-bye.
Well, the assassination attempt on Donald.
Yeah.
They've got rid of Pam Bondi. I'm just going to point that out.
Mm-hmm.
Pam Bondi. Nothing against the girls here, Kelly. Pam Bondi was the Attorney General, and she was a ditherer, is my opinion.
What does that mean? What's a ditherer?
Kelly will explain
that. What's a ditherer, Kelly?
Someone who flaps around and gets nothing done.
Okay.
Hey, wow. That's what she said about it, not me. I just call her a ditherer.
I just told you what a ditherer is. I'm not saying Pam Bondi was.
Super strong opinion today, Kelly.
He said you were nice. Yeah. So anyway, Pam Bondi lost her job. Donnie boy got rid of Pam.
Yeah.
And remember, we talk about America a lot on this show because America has a unique role at the end of time in Bible prophecy. According to the book of Revelation, there's a lamb-like beast, which means it's Christian-like. It's a beast. It's a nation. In the end, that Christian nation starts to speak like a dragon.
Mm-hmm.
We believe that's identified in Bible prophecy. And if you want to find out how, text the word study.
Mm-hmm.
Study, and you can discover that, and you can say, Justin's wrong about that. I'm not, but you can say that after you've studied it, but don't say it till you studied it. The number they would text to get that book is 0482-082-876, 0482-082-876. There's a new sheriff now running the Justice Department.
Who is it? I haven't been all up on this. It's not this guy, is it? Is he the new sheriff?
Oh, I don't know what he looks like.
Nice. But keep going.
Pam started this investigation. James Comey, you know who he is, Kelly?
No.
Todd Blanche is the new one.
Todd Blanche, the new one. So he was he ran the FBI when Trump was first elected. He was very involved in Russiagate, the Russia hoax. Mm.
He was willfully making a
threat. Sorry, that was Todd.
That's Todd Blanche.
Yeah.
He is very involved in getting rid of the general who was the intelligence officer. What was his
Mike
name?
Mike Flynn.
Mike Flynn. He's done a lot of dodgy stuff, this guy, in my opinion.
Hmm.
And Trump's been trying to get him. He can't stand him.
So this guy, you?
No, James Comey. And what's happened, there's been an attempt on Trump's life. This is now, how many has it been now, Kyle?
Well, depends who's counting, but 7 or 5 or 3.
The ones we all know about is 3.
Yeah.
That we all saw and heard at the time.
Mm.
He got shot in the ear. There's very few presidents that have been shot in the ear and lived. So there's been another attempt on his life, and that attempt failed.
How
was it actually an attempt? Like, how far did he get?
Push, you tell me.
I don't know. Like, I mean, I know he probably had intentions of doing it, but how far did he really? How close
the
did he get?
The dude could run fast. Did you see the footage?
No.
He came like a bullet.
He dodged a bullet.
Yeah, well, someone got shot. Someone got shot. They're not saying whether he actually shot them or it was a.
Apparently, he wasn't injured, like, badly.
No, but one of the other security guys, Secret Service, was shot. They stopped him. They've arrested him. They have him in custody.
They're saying it's actually friendly fire.
I heard it, because it didn't sound like he was running. No. He couldn't have shot him. One of the other agents has shot that agent as they shoot at him.
Crossfire. So has he actually fired his gun at all?
No, I don't think he has.
Don't think he did. Here's that footage there.
Watch how fast this dude runs. He's going to come through here any second now.
So it's and in that footage there, you can actually see this agent that got the other agent, but we won't slow it down for you.
No. In any case, third attempt on Trump. They've had to cancel the correspondence dinner. It's a big deal for an attempt on the life of a president.
Mm.
James Comey, the former FBI director who has become so political and he hates Trump, he showed a picture on a beach a while ago, and it was a code. It said 8647. And Kelly knows what 86 means.
What? We're talking about get smart, or are we talking about code?
86 well, that's what you said. Is an American English slang generally meaning to get rid of.
And is it an order?
To someone assassinate? Or something. In the hospitality industry, it's used to indicate that an item is no longer available. So just a bit of a slang.
They use it in slang.
Is it used as an order?
What do you mean, as an order?
He's giving out instructions. I don't know.
The term 86 is most prominent in the light novel series 86 and its subsequent anime adaptation.
It means it's
just an old-fashioned thing.
To get rid of something.
Yeah.
And so he said 8647, he had shells on a beach that he said, oh, interesting. And then he took it down almost straight away and then apologized, which is almost an admission of guilt.
I saw a show where he actually explained that his wife told him that he should post on Instagram. And that's how it got there.
Oh, it's his wife's
fault. He blamed his wife, yeah.
They're handy, those wives, to blame, aren't they?
So did he see that on the beach and take a photo of it?
They said that they were just walking along the beach and they saw somebody else had done it. Mm. And then they just thought, oh, what is it? And then they speculated what it might mean. And so he took a photo. And
which I don't believe for a
minute. Put that on Instagram. That's the explanation that he gave on a late night talk show.
And he's been indicted on two counts. Both are worth 10 years in prison if you're charged. And he was indicted in North Carolina. You've been to North Carolina, Kelly?
I've never been to the United States.
What did the
47? Haven't you?
For those who don't know, what did the 47 mean? If the 86 was to nix.
He's the 47th president of the United States. Mm. So kill the president.
Right.
Is how it was interpreted by most people that saw it, and it was hugely controversial. Mm. Well, he's been charged because if you threaten the president of the United States, you just got to threaten them. It's worth 10 years in prison. And that's been tested in the high court in history, and it's been upheld that it's constitutional to charge someone to that level. Mm. So it's not a smart thing to go out doing that. And it seems to provoke this guy that did this other assassination attempt. He's a school teacher.
Mm.
We love teachers, don't we?
Is he a teacher? I thought he was something else.
He's done his master's.
He's got a master's in something.
He's a fill-in teacher at the moment. Yeah. Not a guy you'd expect to be trying to assassinate a president and no criminal record. So they're sort of inferring that he's been inspired by all these other guys.
He wrote a manifesto before he did it, didn't he?
He did.
Yeah, and who did he send it to?
A bunch of his family, I think it was.
He travelled all the way across the country with a shotgun and a handgun on a train and checked into the hotel where Trump's speaking at the correspondence dinner. So, bit of a mess. And Comey, they'll have a whole bunch of other charges they're wanting to get him on. But as long as they get him on something, it'll be their thought. And this is, again, showing how close the political tension is towards violence all the time. And it's not getting better. It's getting more and more. And I wonder what it's going to take. I don't think this is going to go back to normal. I think this is just going to get deeper and deeper.
Mm.
Civil war is what's on the end of this sort of stuff.
Mm.
Anyway.
Just cut to Kelly for comment if you're on YouTube. It's radio silence, but there's a lot happening on the video. German Chancellor says that the U.S. is being humiliated by Iran. But I also saw this week that apparently the new, what do you call him? Great commander, leader in chief. What do they call him in Iran? The guy in charge.
Ayatollah.
The new one. They're suggesting that his face has appeared on a memorial board and that he himself is actually dead already.
Oh, wow.
And so are you saying that's why Iran is not responding to?
Well, the US is saying that they're ceasing their talks with them because they're all arguing and they don't know who's in charge over there. I'll actually put up a photo for you.
Last week's episode, we spoke about the guy that's...
This is it here.
And they're all dead people on that wall.
This is a memorial wall for everybody that died in some of those big airstrikes.
So if you're on the radio, Kyle's put up a picture of a memorial wall.
And this is the old Ayatollah. And they're saying that this one here is actually
his son,
the son that's meant to be the new Ayatollah that was rumored to have been missing a leg and in a coma.
He's died.
And then this is all the lesser military people that, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know if it's getting any better over there. They've stopped another ship today, the Americans. Fuel price in Australia has come down, so we're all feeling okay.
To come down to still something far too high.
Far too high.
Gotcha.
Mate, where's this going to go? The German Chancellor, you pointed this out, Kelly.
Mm. He made a comment. I think he was speaking at a school, a girls' school or something, and he said something about how Iran has humiliated the US and Trump and that he's, you know, looks bad globally. And I think Trump hasn't taken kindly to those comments.
Well, the British Prime Minister and the French President have backed up the German guy too. Trump is at an all-time low in his relationship with Europe. But hold it. Guess who's just arrived in the United States?
Albanese?
Monarch?
No, the King. They have a no kings rally and then the King turns up. The King of England has turned up in the United States, and I always call him Prince Charles because all my life he was Prince Charles, but he's King Charles now. Mm. King Charles doesn't sound right. King Charles got up and made a speech in the Congress. Good speech, Kelly?
I thought it was.
Okay.
I know that you don't think much of it, but I thought that his manner of speaking...
There's nothing wrong with his speech. I have issues with Charles.
Personal issues? Like he borrowed money off you once and didn't give it back?
No.
No.
Okay. Keep going, Kelly.
What are your issues with him?
I think he's, in recent times, he's very much aligning himself with Islam. He's supposed to be the head of the Church of England. He didn't even give an Easter address, give a message on Easter. It's just like silence. And some of the prominent cardinals and bishops over in that country are pointing out the fact that he is increasingly aligning himself with Islam.
Hmm.
And okay, God loves everyone. He loves Islamic people as much as he does Christian people.
Hmm.
But step down as the head of the Church of England if that's where you're going. And this will be a bit controversial, but there's a lot of evidence that the defender of the faith, who's the king or the queen of England at the time, is doing anything but, and he's not helping Christianity. And he's an out-and-out globalist.
Would that be why England is the way it is right now, do you think?
I think the demise of the Church of England has led to the demise of England. And listen to me, Australians. England's not demise, but they're not in good shape. And the lack of churches that are functioning in that country and Christianity that made it who they were, if you let go of Christianity as a nation, you're letting go of your prosperity. You're letting go of your of the way God wants to lead and work in it. And I don't think there should be the church and state together and all that, and we should have freedom. But to be governed and to have your populace to be worshipping and following Scripture makes your nation strong. And the demise of the Church of England, I think, has led to the demise of England.
I'd agree with that, yeah.
That's just my opinion.
They've become increasingly secular.
I had never heard the topic before about Charles becoming Muslim.
Yeah, I had neither.
But you punch that into the internet and there's no shortage of things.
He's not – just for – we're on Faith FM and these are our opinions. He hasn't become Muslim.
These are all Phil's opinions.
But he is really shifting his alliance there.
Okay. I think he's sympathetic.
Extremely.
The thing I just had on the screen while you were talking was an insider from the – from the Buckingham Palace or whatever, saying that he's already converted.
I know all that stuff, right. but I'm stepping it back a bit because we're on Faith FM. No, there's no shortage of stuff.
Okay.
And you can't prove that. He hasn't openly come out and said that.
Gotcha.
There are lots and lots of rumours, and so much so, we should read the letter that the bishop has put out.
Okay.
He put it out just after Easter because he can't take it anymore. A practicing priest in the Church of England, and he went very public with it.
Right.
And his letter was published.
A letter about what?
To Charles about his lack of Christianity and his alliance with Islam. Mm. So, you know, there's a lot of smoke here. We don't ultimately know, and it's his business what he does. And if he wants to become a Muslim, well, that's his thing. But you can't be the head of the Church of England at the same time.
Mm.
England barely has a church left. That's my point.
Mm.
And my heritage is from the Church of England. That's my ancestors.
Mm.
Right down. I've got some Catholics back there too and all that, but mainly the Church of England. And we got Quakers, you know, my great-grandmother and all sorts of people there and back in England. But, wow. The demise of the church will lead to the demise of a country.
Mm. And the demise of them as a power, a global power, aligns with that too, doesn't it?
It really does.
They're not really in the Bible, are they?
It really does. And what's the most powerful nation on earth today?
Australia.
It's the United States. And I've got to say, they're very churched. And that preceded them becoming a powerful nation. Now, some say, well, what about China? Well, let's see about China. Let's see how that goes. There's 300 million Christians in China.
Mm.
There's more Christians in China than there are in the United States.
Mm.
Just saying.
Well, let's end the show back here at home and then give our final book offer. Now, these sort of stats, I would like somebody to fact check me here just to make sure because I'm just reading things online, you know. Apparently, the Australian government for the month of February 2026 had 96,110 net permanent and long-term arrivals, which calculates to approximately 3,432 people per day. Total migration volume under the Albanese government, net overseas migration reached record highs with over 1 to 1.3 million migrants arriving in the first 3 years. So we actually looked up earlier that there's 500 people a day dying in Australia. And 3,400 people coming in.
Mm.
That's 2,900 extra people. I've been wondering, have you seen all the units going up on the main street here in Canberra?
Yeah, they're knocking down the old stuff and building high-density housing.
Hard to believe that we need that many units, but if you actually consider how many people are coming, they can't build them fast enough.
We do have a housing crisis anyway, even without people coming in.
Well, this fuels the economy. And why governments do this is it's lazy economics. I've got to say that when the immigration's from the Pacific, it suits us because the Pacific is strongly Christians. I was at a church social on Saturday night with these blokes from Fiji. terrific fellas. Please come from Fiji.
Mm-hmm.
And
I don't understand that though. Like, I know of people from the islands that have had to go back because they weren't allowed to stay.
It's hard. It's hard to get in. I can't believe this many people can get in Australia because it's really hard.
That's right.
But generally, immigration helps us. But I'm just for our quality of life, I don't want a massive population. I don't want to have 200 million people in Australia. It'll be terrible. Mm-hmm. I'd rather us stay smaller in our population because it's better for our nature, our way of life. Maybe it does. I'm probably.
I think for the.
I was born selfish, mate.
General populace, it's not. When you think of how much of our country is arable, we're not equipped to keep a whole lot of people here.
Because the water is. And my kids and their kids, my grandchildren, I want them to live in a great country. And I don't think a big population. Cities in general are not good places for crime and lifestyle. I think it's better to live in a smaller country town or rural area, and I don't like big populations. That's my thing.
Mm.
In
Kelly's the opposite of that.
For the book giveaway today, I've chosen this one, Hero of Hacksaw Ridge. When you actually read, about the VC award that Ben Robert Smith got, it actually made me think of Desmond Doss and his bravery on the battlefield. And so if you are not familiar with Desmond Doss and his bravery on the battlefield, Mel Gibson went and made a movie for you. It's a bit gory. So instead, you can watch the documentary by, what's his name, Justin? Forgotten.
Oh, the documentary. Yeah, the guy that
nice
did.
Nice one. Let me look that up.
Kyle, isn't it?
Yeah.
Kyle.
No, it's not Kyle.
Sorry.
It's.
I have the DVD.
The Conscientious Objector, Terry Benedict.
That's sorry. It. I couldn't remember that name.
So that was actually, he actually shot that while Desmond Doss was
it's
still alive.
It's a really good, you know, that's a DVD there. I'm sure you can download that online.
Yeah, it's on YouTube.
It'd be on YouTube.
Yeah.
Watch the YouTube thing, guys. If you don't read the book. Watch the YouTube thing. It's really powerful.
But we want you to have the book as well. So
and it's not as gory as the real movie. The real movie is not suitable for children.
Well, the real movie is not quite as gory as what really happened either. So.
No doubt. No doubt.
So Hero of Hacksaw Ridge, we want you to have that one to read about a brave Seventh-day Adventist and his prayer during wartime.
Okay.
Mm.
And they do that 0482?
Mm-hmm.
082-876.
X the word hacksaw.
To 0482-082-876. I'm going to get Kelly to pray for us as we close the show today.
Father, thank you that we're able to have the freedom in our country to do this sort of thing. I pray that you would be with all of those across our country listening. Be with us now. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Thanks, everyone. Thanks, Kelly.
Thank you.